Welcome to the North and South of Things podcast, a show dedicated to discussion of topics important to the LGBT community and the community at large. Here are your hosts, Mark and George.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the North and South of Things. It's a beautiful day here in sunny St. Paul, and joining me all the way from Atlanta is George. Hi, George.
Well, how are you, Mark?
I'm doing well. I just got in from a walk around my neighborhood. It seems the winter is losing its grip up here a little bit, so yeah. I thought I would take advantage of some time and go for a walk.
I was just listening to your Lake Wobegon guy. What's his name?
Garrison Keillor. Yeah. Yes.
He's regaling his audience with a story about some car breaking through the ice. So apparently you guys have not had very harsh winter up there. A car breaking through the ice on a lake that folks usually drive and fish on and do other things on. Apparently it's not very thick this year.
That's true. We've had not a lot of cold weather that would form. So yes, we do have to be careful. But of course, you know, the world is full of, well, intellectually challenged people, and they drive on ice that they probably shouldn't.
It was really funny. He was talking about it was an older couple that drove through part of the ice they shouldn't have, and the car went in the water, and the husband almost had a heart attack, so somebody called the fire department, and the fire department promptly drove on the ice, and then the fire department called the doctor, who promptly drove on the ice, who then called the ambulance because he said the guy needed to go to the hospital. So the ambulance promptly drove on the ice, and then they called the wrecker to get the car out, which promptly drove on the ice.
That's right. They have to call out the wrecker to, you know, put the cord out onto the car that's underneath the ice and pulling it out, and then they take off that cord, which kind of reminds me of the subject we're going to be talking about today, George, and that's cutting the digital cord.
That is
cable.
That is a scary topic to me. Cutting the cord. I'd almost rather cut the cord to my car in the ice than I had to cut the cord to my cable. You know, I threatened to do that. I told you I was looking at my annual budget in one of our previous episodes, and I was thinking about, you know, just cutting it, just solid break. I couldn't do it. I did rearrange my package. I dropped off my premium HBO, so there's no more Game of Thrones. And I did also reduce my package. So now instead of paying about $120 a month, I'm paying about $80 a month.
Oh, that's a good start. I mean, one of the reasons why some people do cut the cord is, you know, it's a financial decision. I'm going to share something with you, George. I've never had cable since living on my own.
Ever?
Ever.
Oh, my God.
When I was living with roommates, of course, we had cable, but, you know, they were taking, you know, care of that. And, you know, the cost of that was kind of, you know, bundled in with the rent that I was paying at the time. Yeah, that's really the only time that I had cable is when I was living at home and then living with roommates. And then once I made the switch, I had an apartment by myself, and I never made the decision to sign up for cable. And when I bought my house isn't even wired for cable.
Wow.
It's never had it.
Wow. What year was your house built?
The house itself was built in 1885.
Oh my God.
And I think I'm the third owner.
Just the third?
Of this house.
Wow.
Yes. The gentleman I bought it from, his estate, he lived to be like 104.
Wow. That's crazy. That is crazy. So you haven't felt compelled to have the house wired, obviously, since you're not. I mean, that's an easy thing to do if you're adding cable. I think your installation, the first time you get cable, your installation is usually free. But I think in your case, they might, because they would have to run something. My guess is they would. Yeah. Yikes. So did you miss it? I mean, did you, what did you do? Because like this would be a time that didn't have Netflix or Hulu or any of that kind of business.
Well, you know, I basically kind of got out of the television habit. Probably in college, because, you know, I was spending so much time studying or doing theater or doing other things that, you know, the habit of television was never really established with me. And, you know, once I was on my own, you know, there was VCR, and there were here in this particular market, there was, let me see, I want to say probably four or five network channels, and then a couple of the UHF that were broadcasting here. And pretty much if you wanted to get something, you could.
Yeah.
And it, of course, rentals. This is at the time where, you know, Blockbuster was still in it.
Yeah,
in business and around.
What is this Blockbuster you speak of?
And isn't that a blast from the past?
Yeah.
You know, and our library system here is really, really good about having other types of media.
Yeah.
So movies, DVDs, you know, all of that stuff was available through the library and is still that way today. So...
Wow.
But I have been a Netflix customer since, I want to say, 2003.
Mm. Now, do you have that connected to your TV through a device now, like a Apple or a Roku or something like that?
I have a Roku, which is the little stick that kind of just plugs into the HDMI port on the television. And I also have an Xbox 360 that has the app for that as well. So, and then, of course, I've got an iPad and, you know, computers and that sort of thing that are all connected as well.
Right. What are some of the other reasons that people... cut the cord? It seems like there's a huge percentage of people. I probably should have looked up some numbers, but I know that it's growing. Seems like it's growing exponentially every year. Maybe not exponentially. That's a bit much, but it is growing significantly. So much so that it feels like you're hearing more and more news stories about it, almost on a fairly regular basis. For me, financial is one thing. I just, you know, it's the return on investment, I guess, not just purely financial. It's, wow, I don't really feel like I'm getting $120 a month worth of programming on this. And it's, I mean, something we're going to talk about on another episode is reality TV. I mean, I'm so annoyed with the amount of reality TV versus other, and that seems like it might be shifting now, but it just doesn't seem like it's worth the investment of money or time, frankly.
I think a lot of people are starting to feel that way. You know, there's the old saying, you know, 120 channels and nothing is on.
That's a Bruce Springsteen song, isn't it? 57 channels and nothing on.
Exactly. And, you know, so much of our viewing habits have changed. We're changing to, you know, time shifting with some of these other platforms like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime. You can, you know, literally get what you want when you want it. And why pay for something, you know, that's totally on all the time? And then having the ability to shift it to your convenience. I remember as a kid growing up, you know, Saturday morning, if you wanted to see Pee-wee's Playhouse, you had to turn on the television and you had to be there at 9 a.m. in order to catch that that show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the 50s and 60s and 70s, when we were growing up, you know, we had, you know, broadcast television. You know, it was on at a certain time. And now we have the ability to have it when we want it.
Even worse, when I was growing up, there was six other kids in the house and only one TV. So if you wanted to watch a particular program, you had to get there several hours because the rule was whoever was there first got to watch what was up next. So I wound up watching many, many, many hours of television that I didn't want to watch just so I could watch the 1 hour of whatever. Yeah, it's crazy. These crazy kids today have it so damn lucky. I'll tell you another thing that annoys me about this is, you know, immediately when you, I guess like anybody trying to disconnect from a bad habit or rehab themselves off of drug and alcohol, you are immediately thinking, how can I get a fix? And so when I was researching, all right, so if I cut cable, and for me it's satellite, I just call it cable. If I cut this, you know, I know about Netflix, I know about Hulu. I learned that you, during my research, that you can actually now get HBO Go or HBO Now. I get them confused. So you can get an online subscription to HBO just like you could any other. You don't have to go through a reseller like DirecTV or Comcast, which is good. So I may resubscribe or subscribe to that whenever Game of Thrones comes back on. But I stumbled into this thing called Sling TV. And no, that is not the hidden camera in Big Fatty's bedroom. That is...
Oh, the horror.
Oh, the horror. Change the channel! No, Sling TV is... its slogan is Take Back TV. And I thought, oh, this sounds really interesting. And then, it's a subscription service, and you can supposedly get your local... television stations plus, you know, other major channels and that kind of thing. And then, you know, you read a little bit more and you see the reviews and people are kind of negative. It's doesn't have enough bandwidth on the server's end, so it's it buffers a lot. And come to find out, it's actually owned by DirecTV. I'm like, wait a minute. Take back.
I am not surprised.
Yeah.
I am not surprised. I think you're going to, as you know, the media landscape changes and the cable companies, you know, they're terrified at this point because that's how they make their money is, you know, putting these packages together and kind of reselling content in a way.
Yeah.
And so when HBO made the decision to have a subscription-based application, you know, just like Netflix or Hulu, I think that really makes the cable industry nervous.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, and HBO is big enough that they can do that without, you know, they don't have to worry. They have enough audience that will come with them. They don't have to worry about pissing off the networks.
Right, but I think you're going to see more and more of that sort of thing happening. Now, I know some of my friends, and I won't name any names, but they use things like BitTorrent and pirates and that sort of thing, and I just can't seem to bring myself to do that.
I may or may not have friends who may or may not do that. And I may or may not have seen any of it. But yeah, I'm with you. The whole issues of intellectual property and I think
right.
I think there's gonna be a lot of crackdown on that. A lot of crackdown.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're already seeing some of that on, you know, the accessible stuff like YouTube. People posting proprietary, you know, shows and things of that nature. Some folks are really, like, if you go try and find a Garth Brooks concert video, you will not find a Garth Brooks concert video because there are people scrub that on a regular basis. I think BitTorrent and the other things have a few layers of security that folks can hide behind, proxy servers and the like. But I think its days are numbered too.
Well, I think it's going to come down to a lot of rights and the renegotiation of that. I know one of the frustrations and kind of the one of the cons of using something like Netflix or Hulu is that there's a show out there that I want to see, and I can only get one season of it, and it takes a long time before the next season is available on that particular platform. And so that brings up, you know, when I make a decision to watch a show, it's usually based on what my friends are talking about. So my friends are making that kind of that filtered decision. And, you know, if the same kinds of conversations start cropping up in different areas of my, you know, social circles, then I put it on the list, because I don't have the time to, you know, watch everything and find the next big thing. So you run the risk of running into spoilers,
Yeah, that's true.
and that sort of thing, like on social media, Twitter, Facebook. You know, I know when the last Star Wars film came out, it was going to be a few days before I was able to actually get to the theater and see it. So I started kind of insulating myself, you know, a week prior to the opening, just because I don't know why people. I don't know how you feel about spoilers, George, but I have a strict policy of, you know, at least 2 weeks before you start talking about a film.
I think Star Wars in particular, there was a lot, it seems like a lot of folks were definitely on your side in terms of I will beat the hell out of the first person who adds a spoiler to this Facebook thread. I'm probably guilty of spoiling something, you know, years and years ago before I realized what the hell I was doing. Now I'm much more conscientious about it. And quite frankly, it's less of an issue for me because I'm usually the person that's just too lazy to go to the theater to see a movie. I've seen two movies in a theater, probably three movies in a theater in the last 3 or 4 years. So I guess that means I average one movie inside a theater. And I know the perils that come with that are I'm very likely to hear something, you know, spoiled, but I also don't follow. I'm probably more of a casual observer. I'm not a huge movie buff, so I'm probably somebody who's like, eh, whatever. Now, I might have been pissed because I with the whole Star Wars because I did, you know, I tried to get myself pumped up. You know, I bought the entire series on iTunes and watched, you know, the three originals. I was given advice not to worry about the other three, which I think was good advice. So yeah, if with that, I would have been pissed if somebody had said, you know, so and so gets shoved off a, you know, beam. I've been a little pissed. I think one of my cons, I think we've hit all the pros. It's, you know, cutting cords saves money, makes time for other interests. You know, switching to things like Netflix and Hulu gives you time to sort of you decide when you want to watch these things and how you want to watch them. On the cons, you've mentioned about spoilers. For me, it's kind of weird. There's this sense of alienation and disconnect that I get just thinking about this. I mean, then I ultimately couldn't cut the cable. I really couldn't. I was like, what if I need to? I mean, part of my job involves being sort of connected to the news and current events in Atlanta. And so there's that. That doesn't mean I can't get that source elsewhere online. But there is that sense of I want to be able to turn the TV on anytime and just have it on for background noise if for nothing else. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but it's this sense of I'm not going to be connected if I'm. If I, you know, if I disconnect from, it feels like
Well,
I disconnecting myself from the world, not just the actual television shows, I guess.
Well, I remember in the past, my friends talking about a series or a season that they were watching. I think if you can recall how popular Twin Peaks was back in the day. And I remember at the time when those shows came out, everyone was, if they could, come hell or high water, or recording it via VCR, was to, watch that episode. And then the next day, between classes or, on the weekend, everybody's talking about that episode. So there's that kind of that social connection. I find myself, I really enjoy peace and quiet. So I know when I work from home, I'll often have the local classical radio station on here, and that provides me that connection and that companionship. But that's a specific style of broadcasting. It used to drive me crazy when, I was living at home. My parents were the kind of people, up in the morning, that television would go on, and it would be on absolutely every hour of the day until my mother went to bed at night. And, oftentimes my father would fall asleep in front of the television, and it'd be 2, 3 o'clock in the morning before it was off. So, that, to be constantly stimulated for me, that doesn't work so well. So it's not hard for me to have the television off.
And now that you put it that way, I'm guessing TV is probably adding to my ADHD. I should add my self-diagnosed ADHD. I find it hard to sit down and watch a full-length movie. I really do. Just because I need things in 15, 20-minute bursts before I go do something else or switch to some other task or project or, other form of entertainment. It's very weird.
Well, I think that might be, kind of a product of the technology that we have in our lives. I know there's been a lot of criticism out there about, and I've noticed myself, I used to be able to sit down and, read a book for, hour or an hour, two at a time. And now I find myself, it's very hard for me to sit for more than 20 minutes reading a single source without wanting to switch over to Twitter or Facebook or, check email. And I think that kind of might be a product of, our 21st century lifestyle.
Our attention span is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. One of the other things that I noticed immediately, and of course I knew it was going to happen because I've made an intentional decision to cut down the package from, Supermondo X Plus to, can I just have some bread and water? Which, by the way, is the lowest package they have available. I just think it's absurd that, by the time you add in my two DVRs, or excuse me, my one DVR, and then there's a service called Whole Home DVR, which means you can watch what's on the DVR on another player without it having to be a DVR. Anyway, I think the package itself is like $50, but it's all these other fees that they tack on, including there was a fee of $2.50 that was something local sports. And I called DirecTV and I'm like, what is this fee? When did this get added? I didn't approve that. Well, that's just to ensure that we can air your local sports, blah, blah, blah. I guess I can take it off. I'm like, well, if you can take it off, who the hell put it on? And why wasn't I notified about this? So I fully expect to hear, get one of those random mailers. You've been added to a class action lawsuit against DirecTV for adding $2.70 a month for, It's nonsense. But anyway, what I was going to say is what I've already noticed immediately is that the loss of the channels I thought I would be okay with, I'm really not okay with. I lost one of my cooking channels, and I lost the NFL Network.
I can see where those would be important to you.
Yeah. I kind of thought, since it was the end of the season, you know, the playoff games are on network stations, I probably wouldn't want to watch NFL Network as much, and that turned out to not be true. But I'm going to bite the bullet and not, I'm just going to not do it. I'm not going to, unless I win the lottery. And quite frankly, I need to watch a little less TV and read a little bit more anyway. Yeah. So I'm curious
what our listeners are doing in this area of cable and streaming media.
I am too. So we'd really like to hear from you. We occasionally get a tweet or a text or a we occasionally get an email. So let us know what you're doing. If you've cut the cord, what are your alternative methods? One assumes there are alternative methods at play, and we've talked about some. We've got Netflix. Did you just hear that ding? Sorry, that was a text going off. I apologize. So I meant to close that program. We've talked about some of the alternatives being Netflix and Hulu Plus, of course, Amazon, and then standalones like HBO Go or HBO Now. Mm-hmm. What else is there?
Well, you mentioned Sling TV.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking that there are other services that are out there. We just don't maybe know about them yet.
Yeah. I know there was the big lawsuit against, what's it pronounced? Arrow, AERO or something like that. And they lost. They were basically rebroadcasting network television, and mm-hmm. they went to court and got taken down. Which would have been nice to be able to watch TV on your computer. Mm-hmm. Network television specifically, because I think that's a concern for me. But yeah, let's hope we get some feedback from our listeners and tell us what they're doing. Legal, of course. Keep it all legal, folks. Yeah. I'm splitting my neighbor's cable. He doesn't know it, but I've got one of them there coaxial splitters. I don't even think you could do that today. I remember back in the day, you could get a cable splitter and then just run two cables to different rooms. But today's technology, you have to have the box, so I don't even think that would work.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I remember the old cable boxes from back in the day, and I don't even know how it works these days.
I think it's a lot more sophisticated, and I think the boxes also communicate back to, back to the providers, capturing all this kind of data that they turn around and sell to Nielsen and others without our permission. Did you ever get one of those Nielsen rating guidebooks where you participated?
No, I never did, but I know there is a service called Arbitron.
Yep.
In the radio world, and I've had some experience with that because they've changed to from paper logs to actual kind of devices.
Yeah.
So I was never part of a Nielsen family. No,
we did. We weren't. I don't think we were a Nielsen family per se, but we participated for like 1 month or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I could be wrong because I don't ever hear anybody talking about it anymore, about sort of participating in that kind of approach. I think it's unnecessary. I think the data goes back, based on what your viewing habits are. I think that data is sent back to the providers, and the providers sell that data.
Absolutely. Netflix knows exactly what its audience is doing and when.
Yeah. Even how long you're watching, Well, for Netflix, that's their core business, because they need to be able to recommend other things for you to watch. On network television, you have the benefit of a constant reminder of, don't forget to watch this Thursday's Mike and Molly, Whereas Netflix needs to know what you're interested in so it can connect you with its older stuff as well as new stuff. Yeah, it's kind of their lifeblood. Fascinating topic. We could talk longer, but we're out of time.
Yes, we are. So until next time, you guys know how to find us, and we'd love to hear from you. So have a great day, George, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Thank you for listening to this episode of The North and South of Things. More information available at northandsouthofthings.com. Follow Mark on Twitter at Laughing Buddha. That's LaughingBuddha. And George at George in Atlanta. Our podcast theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.